We bow before thee this morning in awe and reverence of thy glorious name, thanking you, Lord, for thy vastness, thy incomprehensible power, wisdom, strength, and might. O Father, we thank you that you are our God and that we can come to you and find refuge in you today and in this day of trouble and trial. Thank you, Lord, that you are immovable, unshakable, and that you are eternal. Thank you, Father, for loving us. We think of thy greatness, and we think of how far we had fallen from you and gone our own way, how much we loved our sin, and how we had walked in it, Father, away from thee. And then in thy love and thy mercy, how thou hast called us to thyself. And we think, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And we are in awe this morning in worship as we consider that you have loved us so much, that you've given yourself to redeem us. You've made it your personal decision to redeem fallen mankind. We think of thy mercy, and then we think of the grace, and we think of thy tremendous glory that is in heaven all around thee, and we think of how far short thy church comes from exalting thee, how far short I come, Lord, from lifting you up and worshiping you as you ought to be. And I bow before you. I ask you, Lord, to have mercy upon us, to, Lord, broaden our view, our vision of you, Father. Cause your awe and your grace to abound in our hearts, that we might exalt you as you really are, by our lives, by our every word we say, by the examples we leave, by the words, the way we relate to one another. May we always keep before us thy greatness. Oh, Father, teach us how to worship you. We desire to bring you glory and honor. We desire that your name would be exalted. In this world, when everything else is perishing and falling and trembling like a skiff in a stormy sea, oh Lord, we pray that men would see that you are the rock immovable and that they would flee to you. May we find grace and rest and comfort in you today and always, Father. We ask that you bless your word. We're looking to you. You alone can bring life to your word. We pray that you bless your people and feed them for thy sake, not for our sake, but for thy glory. Bless our time together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's been a blessing to be here this morning. We can't but say that we know nothing, and we have no power and no strength. And I've been so encouraged. I heard a statement made that God has more glorified in redeeming a fallen world, and that is why He created us. Because I've thought of that in His infinite omniscience, His all-knowingness. From eternity past to eternity future, God knew that men would fall. It says, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, even before the worlds were framed, God had salvation in His heart. May He receive that glory. What a joy to serve Him. Okay, we're going to go on with our study, Lord willing, in Psalm 23 this morning is my desire. I had mentioned this briefly the last time I shared some time back, but are there any of the young people or children that have memorized this psalm? Any of you memorized it? Someone who wants to share it for us, say it from memory, memorization? I was going to read it, but okay, no one's willing. Let's just read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here, I had given some introduction and everything to the psalm last time. Just a few thoughts on review. We had looked last time, we had considered the first part of the first verse, the first phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd," and that's what we had considered. We had considered in the light of the Lord being our shepherd that it makes a tremendous difference in our lives who is our shepherd. Because each of us has something or someone who's filling that place in our life. But it makes a big difference who is filling that spot. Remember the story I shared with you from the sheep farm? The man had a sheep farm, and he had well taken care of sheep. His animals had plenty of grass, they had clean water, and he continually took care of them, fed them in the winter, had plenty of hay and grain for them through the cold times of the year. And then we had considered that the sheep ranch next to his was operated by a tenant sheep farmer. He was a hireling, and his sheep were always weak and riddled with disease and parasites. Their pasture was always depleted. He overpopulated his pasture. And the water was muddy many times. And in the winter, there wasn't adequate feed of good hay and good grain for them. And we considered the difference. That makes a big difference in our lives. Who is shepherding us and who is our shepherd? And that is why it is such joy that is when we can not only realize these words or put them on our tombstone, but rather live in the reality of them from day to day, that Jehovah is my shepherd. The Almighty Omnipotent God has humbled Himself to concern Himself with my affairs. And we can see the confidence of David as he's writing this psalm. He himself being a shepherd, saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." The key word in that phrase we looked at was "is." That is the question today. Is that the reality of your life? Are you finding Him as your shepherd? Because whoever is your shepherd, if it's a tenant, if it's this tenant, sheep farmer, or if it's the Lord Himself who knows His sheep, it'll make a big difference how you're doing in your Christian life. It'll make a difference whether you're a Christian or not. But it'll make a difference whether you are doing well, bringing glory to Him. So there's a lot, it's very important that we find Him as the Lord, our shepherd. Now we're going to look at the next phrase. Don't despair, we're going to go through this pretty slow. But we're going to look at the statement here that David follows, and because he says with exuberance, "The Lord is my shepherd," he can also add, "I shall not want." Notice again the personal pronoun there. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. God is wanting to be more than the shepherd of the nations, or overseeing and carrying the nations. Even in His goodness, He does that. He lets the rain fall on the good and the evil. He lets the sun come up on those who are righteous and those who are unrighteous. But He's wanting more than that. He's wanting to become personally, individually involved in your life and mine. We want to consider some thoughts from this little phrase, "I shall not want." We want to consider two different angles of view from this little phrase. There are two different ways to consider this passage. And I couldn't help but think of the hymn we sing. That one stanza goes, "Thou, O Christ, art all I want, more than all in Thee I find." And we're going to consider one angle of this word, basically considering the word "want." What is it implying here? We find in this word an interesting meaning. One definition is simply deficiency. It's need, necessity, or even poverty. We find in this word that which is not possessed. To be defective or deficient. To fall short, to not contain or to not have, it would imply what we need. To be without, to be lacking, And I'm going to use some of these words just kind of different ways as we go through here. And another way, and it does mean this, and we're going to look at both aspects. It means to wish for or to desire. The example being, every man wants a little preeminence over his neighbor. Many want that which they cannot obtain, and which they could obtain, which if they could obtain would certainly ruin them. So we're going to look at both aspects. David said here very confidently, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not be deficient. I shall not lack anything. That's what we're going to consider, first of all. I shall not come up against any need in my life that is not fulfilled in my shepherd, that I can't find there. I shall not fall short. This is implied in this word. I shall not be without, or I shall not be deficient. What a statement to make. You know, we immediately tend to think from a physical, temporal aspect that he made this statement, but no, he couldn't have. If you think of the life of David, he was in need. Look at his life. We had considered last time that when this psalm might have been written, whether it was written when he was a shepherd, herding his sheep, whether it was written when he was in the wilderness fleeing from Saul, whether it was written when Absalom rebelled and he left the city. We're not sure when it's written, and sometimes I think, man, it was probably written at this time in his life or that time. But when he speaks here of not wanting or not lacking or not needing, it goes way beyond physical or temporal. It's encouraging here because we're surrounded today on every side by want and lack and need. And it's not physical, but there is some physical need, but we see deficiency all around us. Spiritual deficiency. Maybe you see it in your life this morning. I've seen it in my life. And what an encouragement to make that statement and settle that in our hearts. Because the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. We shall not be deficient, or we shall not fall short in the time of trial. The society all around us is full of inconsistency and insufficiency or deficiencies. I want us to consider this morning that these words are full of hope, both for the sinner or the saint. I want to start with you, with the sinner. If you're here without Christ this morning, you're here as a sinner without His salvation in your life, your condition is one of complete deficiency. No matter what your most religious works or your self-righteous efforts before God, you're still completely deficient. You're full of want. Your wants and needs are more than can be numbered. For you are dead in trespasses and sins. And you are wanting or lacking in the grace of God. If you're here as a sinner in that state this morning, there's hope here in these words for you because that is your condition. You are utterly desolate and you are helpless and hopeless in a helpless, hopeless condition before God. Your state is that of Belshazzar. When after he had performed his idolatrous deeds, the handwriting on the wall told him, "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." That is your condition this morning if you are not in Christ. Your deficiencies will not only be experienced in this life, but you are eternally lacking. You are deficient, or you are wanting for eternity if you are not in Christ. So your estate, you are not just wanting today, but eternally you are wanting if you are not in Christ. Do not gather your self-righteousnesses around you and think that your religion can make you sufficient. For this does only increase your poverty. No matter where you are looking for your sufficiency, you will be left wanting unless you look to the true shepherd. But I want to encourage you this morning, look to Jesus, the true shepherd. He says, the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. And know in your heart that it pleased the Father to bruise him, and by his stripes you may be healed. Do you need pardon from sin? Is that where you are lacking? You are, if you are a sinner, you can find it in Christ. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I want to encourage you this morning, cast your needy soul at the feet of Jesus. Look unto Him and be saved. Take all your needs to Him and find in Him the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Bring your wanting, needy soul to Him and find that you are complete in Him. Make Him the shepherd of your life, and you will also be able to say with David, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I am not lacking. For the saint, I want you to consider this morning, what are your deficiencies? Have you any wants or needs? I find I have some. But there's hope in these words for us as saints, as children of God. We find courage and hope here. We find security in these words. Are you lacking in security or wisdom or strength or knowledge? In many ways, we find our deficiencies, our needs, are revealed to us. And it seems as we continue to grow in grace or in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, as we grow in our Christian life, the Lord reveals to us deficiencies we haven't even seen before. As we draw closer to Him, He shows us lackings in our life I wasn't aware of. But we can come back to this verse and we can find courage here, encouragement here. How often are we looking to someone or something else to supply our great need and not to the bishop and shepherd of our souls? We begin in the spirit, but seek to be made perfect in the flesh. Consider this morning, are you lacking in security? Are you loaded down this morning with the cares of life? Are they heavy upon your heart? The cares of life pressing in on all sides of you. You find yourself desiring to have time with God and desiring to worship Him, but just encumbered with the cares of life, weighing heavily upon your heart. Maybe not even able to enjoy the Lord or to worship Him freely because these cares are pressing down. Jesus has said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Are you worried about tomorrow? It's interesting for me to observe how many times in the gospel Jesus spoke peace, words of reassurance and peace to the disciples, saying, "Peace, be still," or "be of good spirit." And He was always encouraging and comforting them many times. I think it was 7 times that He spoke, or it says, "Take no thought." Therefore, take no thought. And some of those times are in reference to if you are brought before magistrates or, you know, before the court and have to testify for what you believe, give no thought. And sometimes are in the light of temporal needs. I think we need, the Lord wants to be our shepherd. And as we go on through this psalm, we'll see some of the practical things that are mentioned here that David found encouragement and comfort and security in the Lord being his shepherd. But I think one of them is temporally. The Lord wants to provide for us temporally in the sense of, he says it in His own words, "Take no thought for your life what you shall eat, neither for your body what you shall put on." And we see that Jesus knows the heart of man very clearly, and He knows that it is always a challenge for us to not only get by, so to speak, but to want to accumulate. And He gives us many warnings in His Word. As we go through life, He leaves these warnings. Actually, it's a pretty large part of the Gospels. It's interesting for me to consider that this is going to be a need. This is going to be a challenge in your life, even to the disciples. As you go through life, there's going to be a challenge for you to be taken up with the cares of life and to be so busy that you don't have fellowship with me or are not involved in my work. And there's a balance to all that. I know that, and I know that you understand that. But does not he that feed the ravens cause the lilies to grow? Do we not cumber ourselves with a lot of concern and worry and fret at times that the Lord is wanting to fill that place in our life? He that keepeth thee will not slumber. An interesting phrase in the Old Testament. Are you lacking spiritually this morning? Where do you find yourself? Or are you concerned, I should say, insecure spiritually is what I meant to say. Are you insecure spiritually this morning? Do you worry and fret? If you do, there's a good chance you're looking at your own performance. And you're constantly watching your performance and seeing your imperfections. And you're not resting in the grace of God. But listen to these words. Come now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. And when we think of... I heard the statement once, and I think I've shared it before, there's nothing can damn a man but his own righteousness. And there's nothing that can save him but the righteousness of Christ. And when we think of the power of God, even that Brother Jonathan shared with us this morning, even to a small degree, when we think of how it must grieve God when we don't distrust Him, or don't rest in Him, even spiritually. Spiritual insecurity, I think is a great need in the church today. Even in my life, being spiritually insecure, and when we are like that, we're looking at our own performance, and then we try harder, and we continually look at ourselves, and we don't look to Christ. He is our Savior. And He says here, He is able to keep us. Do you trust God for that in your life? Do you trust Him to keep you from falling? And to present you faultless. If you try, I'm not saying we don't serve Him and make choices in our life, but these are the places He desires to fill. And again, in 2 Thessalonians, He says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. We have to enter into His plan of salvation, even in keeping us. We didn't experience salvation, although it was there for us. We didn't experience it until we entered into His plan. And it's the same way with keeping us. We'll be striving in our own efforts until we enter into His power and His resting in His grace. In Hebrews, I thought this fit in as a blessing to me. I like these verses because it was hard. It was a challenge for me to make the choices that I did. Because, you know, we found a lot of stability in the structure that we were in the Amish church. There was a lot of stability there. And so it was hard for me, after looking at the results and the statistics of people that have left and have ended up way out in the world. And I started going through my Bible and I started marking all these verses. I was very encouraged. God has not only taken it upon Himself to save me, but to keep me. If I avail myself of Him, He desires to do that in my life. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. I'll just read them. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, it fits right in with our study, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So it's God's desire this morning that we are not spiritually insecure, but rather that we are resting in the words of Jesus, even when He says in John 10, and when He talks about being the good shepherd, He says, as one of the brothers prayed this morning, no man will pluck you from my hand. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Hallelujah. Do you lack wisdom this morning? Can you say, we find our security not in the doctrines of Christ, again this morning I want to emphasize, and not in knowledge, not in specific, even reading the Bible. Our security, our spiritual security is found in the person of Jesus Christ, in God Himself, who says, thy God this God is our God, and He will not slumber. That is where the security is found. And we mix it up so easily. It's just like the Jews. I shared briefly at a meeting, maybe it was earlier this week, but it was just like the Jews, because they thought they had the law. They thought somehow they kept the law. But they were deceived, and Paul writes it later, that he was ignorant of the law of God. It is interesting for me to consider that just because they had the law doesn't mean they kept it. And just because you and I know this truth, or that the Lord is our shepherd, or that we are spiritually secure in Him, so to speak, I'm not speaking of unconditional eternal security, but I'm speaking of eternal security in Christ. Just because we know those things in the Scriptures, it's God's desire that we live in the reality of them, and that we take Him into our life, and that we know God is our shepherd, and we know the Lord personally, intimately, as the one who keeps us. Now, do you lack wisdom or knowledge? As a child of God this morning, do you find yourself making choices in life that later they don't work out so well, or it didn't really bring glory to God, or making choices that are not the best choices in life? Even, I'm not so much even speaking about business-wise, but even spiritually, as you raise your children, we all need wisdom. We really need wisdom, and we need knowledge as we raise our children, as we go through this life, as we relate to the world, and especially as we're involved in business and dealing, not so that we might be successful, but that our wisdom that the wisdom of this world would not put us to shame, so to speak. And sometimes we see that happen. And I believe that's sad. I don't believe it's God's desire. The wisdom is available to us. And it's not God's desire that the wisdom of this world causes the wisdom of the child of God to pale or to look foolish. Do you find yourself lacking in wisdom? Hear the words in Colossians that says, in whom, speaking of Jesus Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we could turn to Proverbs 8, we won't turn there, but it speaks a lot of wisdom and the person of wisdom in a sense. But in Him, in Jesus Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That is what you need. You can find it in Him this morning, and I'm encouraging you to do that. There's a verse stood out to me in 1 Corinthians saying, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks... But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. And it's interesting, Brother John, and as we looked at wisdom the last two Sundays, that here it is in the person of Jesus Christ. It says, Christ, the wisdom of God, the power of God, in Jesus Christ. What a blessing. And then also you're familiar with the verse, thank you, Seth, in 1 Corinthians 30:1-30 that says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So I want to encourage you again this morning to find your need that you're lacking. Whatever it is, find it in Christ. It is there. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. Not in His... even in His gifts or His callings as prophet or priest or king, but in the person. Are you lacking in strength? Think of this morning with Brother Jonathan sharing. Wow, what an encouragement. If you are, if you feel weak, and if you feel you're feeling like you're not, your Christian life is weak. We're promised power, and many times that's not our testimony, is it? But we find ourselves in weakness. God says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Exodus 15:2, the Lord is my strength, and He has become my salvation. He is my God. In 1 Samuel, and also the strength of Israel will not lie or repent. God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. If we are lacking in strength this morning, it is because we are not finding it in Him, but it's rather we are drawing on our own strength. Or if we're lacking in wisdom or knowledge, it's because we're not finding it in Him. He gives us wisdom, as James says. I have meant to write that down, but James says, "He that lacketh wisdom, let him ask." Are you lacking in grace this morning? 1 Corinthians 1:4 says, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." And also in 1 Peter, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ." And there are a lot of different things we could consider, but I want us to go back. And this is what I want you to consider. If you're lacking this morning, if you find yourself wanting, it is not because of Christ. It's not because He is lacking, but because you have not availed yourselves of Him. It's because you have not made Him the Lord of your life or the shepherd of your life. And as we go on through this psalm, we'll find the significance of this statement in the beginning. Because David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want." And then he goes on to explain what all God does for him. And we're going to be looking at that some more in the future. Think again of the words, "Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all, in Thee I find." We find our hearts agreeing this morning with Peter in John 6 when he said, as we heard last Sunday, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." I want you to consider that this verse is inclusive. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, therefore, because of that, I shall not want." Our deficiencies and our needs can only be satisfied in the Good Shepherd and in Jesus Christ. If there's anywhere else we are looking, well, we'll be found wanting. There is no other, but Christ alone is our sufficiency. This verse is inclusive. In other words, saying everything is here the Christian needs in Christ, in the Shepherd. It is also exclusive. There is no sufficiency outside of Christ. In a sense, David saying, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That is the emphasis. I shall not want because He's my shepherd. But there is no sufficiency outside of Christ. As the song says, no meaner blood will do. No strength or knowledge or wisdom or righteousness will be sufficient for us but that which we find in Jesus Christ. He alone can say, "I shall not want," who can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Notice that this includes time, and this is for eternity. They're both found here, I think. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I think it's for time, I believe it's for eternity. He says of himself, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Heaven is a place where all want is removed because Jesus is there, or God is there. He not only has complete sufficiency, but He is completely sufficient of Himself. Have you found this in Him? Can you say this morning, is this written across your life? "I shall not want." In other words, one translation says, "I do not lack." Is this written across your life? "I do not lack." That's a big statement. "Because the Lord is my shepherd." Let us consider the other angle of looking at this word "want." It is here not as directly implied, but I think we won't do any injustice if we consider it. "I shall not want." The other way we can look at this is, "I shall not desire." "I shall not wish for." We find in this contentment. We find in here David speaking of contentment. The Lord is my shepherd. I have found in Him everything I don't desire. I don't want. I'm not seeking anything else. The lures and the things of this world have grown strangely dim. David found complete satisfaction in his shepherd. It was not always so, was it? When he penned these words, I believe it was his heart. But we can clearly remember the time. There was a day when he was on top of his palace and the armies of Israel were fighting and he was loafing at home. And he looked across and saw a woman and lusted. And covetousness came in and he not only committed the sin of adultery but also of murder to cover his sin. And I can't help but wonder when he wrote these words, but this is the condition God wants us to live in. To continually find in the Lord our shepherd and in His fullness all that we want, all that we need. To find our joy and our satisfaction, our contentment in Him. He sinned and it cost Him dearly. It cost Him 4 of His children. It'll cost you and I if we look away from Christ and if we are drawn in by any other than Christ and if we are living for anything else but Him. It will cost you and I. It might cost us our children. We cannot afford to look away from Christ, to find contentment, satisfaction in anything but in Him. With all the cares of this life, we are tempted to allow our spiritual love and desire to the Lord and our contentment in Him to cool. And then we start looking around at the things of this world and they become attractive. It seems the more we look and the more we are drawn, the more attractive they come and the less Christ means to us. You know, I think this is what happened at the church in Ephesus when Christ wrote to them, when He admonished them in Revelation chapter 2, that you had left their first love. He said, you're still going through all the performances that you were. You're doing all the right things, but your heart has drifted away from Me. And maybe those things that we've become involved in can even take the place of Christ. And God forbid that we would be finding satisfaction in Christian service, but not in Jesus. And that was the grief there. That was the admonition. Because their heart had drifted away from Him, finding, like the verse says, complete satisfaction and contentment in Him, because they had drifted away, they had received a strong rebuke. Let us beware lest we, like the church in Laodicea, think that we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, when in fact, the Bible says they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What a condition, what a picture of the church, or of the so-called Christianity today. Let us be aware of that. We're not exempt from the possibility of falling into that condition. This will be our state. If we cease to find all in Christ and to seek after Him with all the passion of our heart and turn to this world and all that it has to offer for contentment. And I'm sorry, I don't have anyone particularly in mind, but I can't help but think of entertainment and how it's growing so fast, so rapidly, and how it's a challenge to us even, entertainment, in its many forms of drawing our attention from Jesus and not being involved actively in His calling on our life. I'm saying that in examining my own life. I'm not speaking to anyone in particular. But consider that. Where's your entertainment in your life? Is it taking the place of your love? Because I've found in my life that'll cool my heart for the Lord as quick as anything. May the things and the passions of this world not allure our hearts away from our beloved. But I want to consider this morning, beware of a dissatisfied spirit that is constantly wanting and seeking after more and more things. And we can really identify with that. Before we were converted, that was where we found ourselves constantly. I tried many things in life. We tried this, and pretty soon that became loathsome to our soul, and we tried something else. in spite of such a master and an owner who is the good shepherd, who gives his life for the sheep and continually watches over them and blesses them with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, there are many who are not content with his control and care, but are seeking other things. And last week we had a little example from I read it from the sheep farm, and this I want to again today. This really stood out to me. It'll take a few minutes here to read it. The writer is speaking himself, and he was a sheep farmer. He had his own sheep farm. In the light of this, as we're contemplating this thought, I once owned a ewe. She was one of the most attractive sheep that ever belonged to me. Her body was beautifully proportioned. She had a strong constitution and an excellent coat of wool. Her head was clean, alert, well set with bright eyes. She bore sturdy lambs that matured rapidly. But in spite of all these attractive attributes, she had one pronounced fault. She was restless, discontented, a fence crawler. So much so that I came to call her Mrs. Gadabout. This one ewe produced more problems for me than almost all the rest of the flock combined. No matter what field or pasture the sheep were in, she would search all along the fences or shoreline, because we lived by the sea, looking for a loophole she could crawl through and start to feed on the other side. It was not that she lacked pasturage. My fields were my joy and delight. No sheep in the district had better grazing. With Mrs. Gadabout, it was an ingrained habit. She was simply never contented with things as they were. Often when she had forced her way through some such spot in a fence, or found a way around the end of the wire at low tide on the beaches, she would end up feeding on bare, brown, burned-up pasturage of a most inferior sort. But she never learned her lesson and continued to fence crawl time after time. Now, it would have been bad enough if she was the only one who did this. It was a sufficient problem to find her and bring her back. But the further point was that she taught her lambs the same tricks. They simply followed her example and soon were as skilled at escaping as their mother. Even worse, however, was the example she set to the other sheep. In a short time, she began to lead others through the same holes and over the same dangerous paths down by the sea. After putting up with her perverseness for a summer, I finally came to the conclusion that to save the rest of the flock from becoming unsettled, she would have to go. I could not allow one obstinate, discontented ewe to ruin the whole ranch operation. It was a difficult decision to make, for I loved her in the same way I loved the rest. Her beauty and strength and alertness were a delight to the eye. But one morning, I took the killing knife in hand and butchered her. Her career of fence crawling was cut short. It was the only solution to the dilemma. She was a sheep who, in spite of all that I had done to give her the very best care, still wanted something else. She was not like the one who said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It is a solemn warning to the carnal Christian, backslider, the half-Christian, the one who wants the best of both worlds. Sometimes, in short order, we can be cut down. That was an interesting thought. But that's all I have this morning. Just want you to you can consider that as you go through your week. I encourage you to find in Christ your every need and find all your sufficiency in Him. Then we can truly say with David that because the Lord is my shepherd, I do not want. I do not lack. I'm not deficient, even in our trials and the challenges that we face. We can triumph over them in Christ. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, this time together. Lord, we thank you for your word. And it alone is powerful, Lord. We cannot give it power. We cannot make it change people's lives. But we're asking that you would glorify yourself by these few words, and that you might be exalted. Oh, Father, we need you. We ask for the grace to constantly and continually be looking to you and finding our all and all in you. We pray that we might walk contentedly through this life,
with a joy and a satisfaction that makes the joys and the things of this world grow strangely dim, when those around us would know that the love of the world has no part in us, in these all these attractions and allurements, but that it might be written across each of our lives, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I do not lack. I do not want either, for I have found my all in Him." May You bless Your word now. In Jesus' name, amen.